Welcome to Reach For It Radio Show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
Welcome, welcome, Earthlings. We have a galactic show for you today. We have Tolak with us, and this is such a special show. I'm so excited. For those of you who follow Tolak, you're going to be in for a big treat. He's going to talk about 2016 and beyond. So we're very excited about this. For those of you who aren't very familiar with Tolak, he's someone to watch because Tolak is an Earth human representative of the Andromeda Council, an intergalactic, interstellar, and interdimensional governance and development body of aligned, benevolent star systems and planets of sentient, intelligent life for worlds in both the Milky Way and Andromeda galaxies. Wow, that's right. A mouthful.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Here on Earth, they are collectively known as the Andromeda Council. In deep space where they function, the various member planets, ambassadors, and other delegates simply refer to it as the Galactic Council. So this council has named our guest today, Tolak. Tolak from Dakota is what a lot of us follow him on YouTube. Tolak, welcome to the show. I don't want to give too much background because I can't wait to talk to you.
Christina, it's a pleasure. It's good to be here. You're a great lady, and I'm happy to be a guest.
Oh, well, thank you. The pleasure is all mine, Tolak. I've gotten to know Tolak over the past several months, and, you know, he has such a vibration of being of service to humanity through these changes, but also to his galactic friends. And Tolak, could you talk a little bit to give people a little bit of point of reference? I don't want to go too deep, but about the Andromeda Council and how they're helping us, and you're their ambassador.
Sure. Okay. I actually don't have any formal ambassador status, but I guess I'm the guy on planet right now to just sort of share what the people of the Andromeda Council are doing as they're helping Earth as she evolves. Because that's, you know, I don't know how many people are paying attention to what's going on this planet right now. But even for those people who aren't that, I guess as we would say in this community, aware and awake, there are a lot of changes happening on planet having to do with the weather, socially, politically. I mean, as an example, and I know it may not be a great one, but if we think back to, what was it, the 80s, when a guy by the name of Ross Perot, a businessman from Texas, was an almost laughable entry into the presidential race. And I'll talk about this later, actually, in some detail, in terms of what I know about it. He barely scratched the surface in terms of reaching people. Now we fast forward to the year 2016, and a guy by the name of Donald Trump, sort of brash real estate developer, New Yorker, has captured a lot of people's attention because, among other things, he's outside of the political process, and he's got so much money that he doesn't care what the people in the two-party systems have to say. Now, he may be registered as a Republican, running as a Republican, but the system, there's no cause and effect on him. He's pretty much outside of it.
He's shaking things up. And yes, anyone who can shake things up and throw some truth out there in this crazy propaganda-laden world is welcomed by me.
Yeah, this political process, the system's been in place for years and years and years. And it's my humble opinion that I don't think that the system serves the people of the United States anymore, that's for sure. But So we've got this guy who's an outsider coming in, and he's just, you know, he he may not be the right person for president, but he's making people, you know, sit up, stand up, and make a different choice. You know, to know that there are different choices out there.
And isn't that the key for people to just, you know, make some different choices to turn things around?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There are so many things that are dysfunctional in our society, you know, here in the U.S. Boy, we need changes in so many, so many areas. I said I would make mention of what I know about the presidential race. I'm going to, again, make a reference back in time. I've been playing tennis most of my adult life, probably since I was 22 or 23 years old. So that's 30 years. So in any case, back in the early 90s, when I first moved to Tucson in the, I think it was the spring of 94, and there's a direct reference to the story. One of the guys I was playing with, there were a number of guys that were in their, primarily in their late 60s and early 70s. And I was, at that point, I was in my 30s. I was the young duck in the crowd. And during a break, we had a variety of conversations, and this one happened to be political. And there's a man by the name of Jack Murtha. He was with the State Department during the Vietnam War era. And he said, he said my first name. He said, "Don't you realize?" And he was very, very serious when he said this. "Don't you realize that Jack Kennedy was the last freely elected president of this country?" Now, keep in mind, this is the springtime, either late spring, early summer of 93, 94. I think it was 94. And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "When they killed Jack Kennedy, he was the last freely elected president. And every other president since then has been appointed." And I had a degree in political science. I thought that the process was worth something. And to find out that the powers that be have basically allowed the presidential election process to continue, even though it's a complete fraud, I was angry at that moment that I heard that information. I was livid. And it's been perpetuated ever since then. Even Bush 1, Bush 2, Obama, they've all been pre-selected and chosen.
You know, this, a lot guy, of us, yeah.
This guy was a high-level diplomat with the State Department serving in Vietnam during the Kennedy War era, you know, back in the 60s. And so he
I can't imagine.
Inside.
I mean, think about that. That was in the 90s that you were.
93, 94.
Yeah. You were waking up to this information. And just the last couple years, the masses who are the truth seekers, they are starting to wake up to this information about the appointment. And do you ever speak to the Andromeda Council about anything? Is they probably think it's very petty, presidential election, but do you have any insight to what we have coming up with our election?
I have an answer. And I haven't asked recently, so I'll predicate my answer by saying when I first asked about this topic, and it was, I think back in late 2012, then I asked them about Obama and his presidency. And quite honestly, I really need to take some quiet time again in the near future and ask the question again, but here we go. I said, "Tell me about this man Obama and his presidency and who will be next." And they said this, they essentially said this man Obama will be the last president of what you now know as the United States. Now, that was at that moment in time back in 12 and 13. then things may have changed because timelines change. If there's anything that I've learned in this whole process that I've been involved in, it's that there is no fixed time. Matter of fact, one of the things that I was taught early on is that, and now I've come to grips with it. I'm seeing it in motion. I'm watching it play out. The gentleman who I typically call as my primary contact, he happens to be the man who's responsible from, he's also from the planet Dakota. He's responsible for not only the primary Andromeda Council biosphere, but the 11 other ones as well. So his rank is that of a commander. And he said, think of what you call time. And he gives a lot of information, things to me, and visual imagery. So he showed me this, like, a highway system. So there's a primary highway going down the middle of the road, if you will. And there are, like, 12 lanes on the left and 12 on the right. There are that many potential timelines of how life can unfold on Earth, what will happen. And the farther you go to the left or the farther you go to the right, the farther away we are from the what he called like the predominant timeline, how things should unfold. So
how are we doing now? Do you know? Are we off the mark?
Yeah, we're closer. We're closer to the center highway, if you will. We're closer today than we were 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I think there was, the number originally was about 47% of the number of people who would choose to remain on Earth and shift from being what we are today, which is 3D organic humans, of course, with what we call a soul, into becoming a mid-level 4D higher dimensional life form. The number 3 and 4 years ago was about 47% of the people on planet who choose to make that shift. Today, the number is about 51 or 52%. So it's, you know, when you're considering the number of people on planet, 7 billion people, it's an incremental shift, but at least it's a shift upward. It's increased, which is a good thing.
It'll
continue to be interesting.
Yeah. What do you see, or what have you found out about anything that's coming up maybe in the next 3 to 6 months? Have they talked to you about anything to be aware of?
I haven't had any specific conversations with them about specific events.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that this planet, and you know, it would take somebody who's really asleep these days not to notice the difference, but this planet as part of this solar system, because of the area of space that's traveling through, this planet is warming up. Other planets in this solar system are warming up. And that's not even information that has come to me. I was surprised in doing some research on my own, because I was talking to the commander of the Andromeda Council biosphere and other people, and they said, well, even your own scientists know this. And I said, they do? They said, oh yeah, they do. You know, go do some research, you'll find it. So I did some research, and as a matter of fact, even David Wilcock is citing this information, but he's not citing the reference. In 1997, the report first came out from the Russian National Academy of Science. And I believe that the predominant writer is a gentleman by the name of Dmitry. I forget his last name. People go online, they can actually find this report. 1997, National Academy of Science, and they basically said the whole solar system is warming up. And these scientists, in writing the formal report, said the magnetism of each of the planets is changing. The frequency of each of the planets is rising. The luminosity, you know, how bright each of the planets is increasing. And there were another three or four factors that they cited from their collective research that shows that not only is planet Earth warming and changing, all of the planets in the solar system are changing. So from a cosmic planetary perspective, we've got change going on categorically. And one evidence, there's weather evidence of it. They've shown me images of magma under the planet. There's more magma moving faster than ever before. That's the reason that we're getting the high frequency of not only tectonic, geomagnetic plate movement, but we're also getting volcanic earthquakes as well.
And that's kind of what I was curious about, because a lot of scientists, and not only scientists, but people who are channeling, are getting that, the first 3 to 6 months of 2016 could be some massive tectonic plate shifting, volcanoes, tsunamis. And, are they reading a different timeline, or are they tapping into our current timeline? That's always my question, because so many times, people will come out and make predictions and then nothing happens. And then they say, well, that was a different timeline. It's sometimes people, I think, are getting frustrated because we're hoping to have a little bit of insight, but. Yeah.
And I understand, I really understand the nature of the question and the reason for the question. I had my own frustration with this topic back in early 2014, when for, 6 to 8 months, I'd been saying, okay, the people in the Andromeda Council have been telling me that you can expect a shift in January of 2014 for this planet to go from being 3D organic to being a higher dimensional world. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen at that moment in January 2014 because, let me do the A and B. A is, it didn't happen not because of a date thing. B is, these events, whether it's the wholesale transformation of this world to becoming a higher dimensional world, or any other events leading up to it, are not time-based and they're not timeline-based. They are based in terms of what happens out in the cosmos, what meteors or asteroids are moving certain places, and actually, it's an important reference because in checking with the people of at least my contacts in the council, who were not the ambassadors or diplomats. These people are non-voting, management board members. They tell me primarily, and the scientists of the council tell me primarily, that these days what they're doing is concentrating all their efforts to make sure that they bring to bear as much of their technology as possible. And they've done it in the past, but their focus currently is to bring as much technology as possible to bear on asteroids or energy waves or other things that could severely adversely affect this planet. And they're using their technology to minimize the Earth changes that are coming to this world. Because I'll use a female reference, because Mother Earth is in fact a female energy. As she prepares to birth herself as a higher dimensional world, she has to go through her own version of labor pains. And the labor pains will consist of volcanoes popping off and earthquakes, tsunamis, some, maybe, likely, possibly. I don't know exactly how it's going to unfold, but I do know that we can expect to see large-scale Earth changes that are simply indicative of the labor pains of this planet getting ready to transform herself into being a higher dimensional world. The best metaphor that I can think of is a caterpillar doesn't go from being a caterpillar to a butterfly just because it snaps its little legs. It, you know, climbs up a tree, spins a little web thingy, you know, called a cocoon, hangs there for a while, and inside that cocoon, it starts to evolve. It starts to change into the shape of a butterfly. Well, the same thing can be said for planet Earth as she goes through the evolutionary process to prepare herself to become a higher dimensional world. And she can't do that in a non-evolutionary form. She has to evolve. She's got to, she's going to express herself. And labor pains are labor pains. You know, you're a woman. You can't look down at your baby at month six or seven and say, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay there for a while. Your body okay. and that baby are going to go, I'm out of here in 3 months. We're going to finish this job.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the question is, though, how do we give Mother Earth an epidural?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, I
mean, but a lot of us are concerned, and we are very conscious of Mother Earth, or Sophia, as I like to refer to her as, but that she is going through changes. And how do we co-create with her an easier birthing process, or whatever, you know,
everybody
has a different way to say it, but you know, how do we make it easier? And I think a lot of times people look to people like you who are out there representing the Andromeda Council or whoever, you know, your contacts are.
Sure.
And people want to know, are you given any insight where we could co-create together a different reality, and any different information than maybe just, oh, you know, everybody says get in the heart space and yes, and, you know, be kind to each other. You know, we know that, and we're working on a lot of that. But are you getting any information that might help people through this journey? Because we're all in this together. So I appreciate any guidance that you're getting.
Sure. My guidance is likely going to be unique to me, who I am as a person, in my experience on this planet. Because quite honestly, this is my experience. I can't speak to what other people are saying. And also, quite honestly, I don't listen to what other people are saying, with exception of Alex Collier and Mark Kimmel. And I say that because, you know, as you know, Mark has had a lifetime of contact with people from the Andromeda Galaxy. Alex Collier is very much like my predecessor because he was speaking with people from the Andromeda Council. So we chat, and the three of us individually chat with each other, and we kind of compare notes. But I don't listen to what anybody else has to say. Just kind of lay that as a foundation. Now, to answer your question, the first thing that they've taught me to do is, and these are in no particular order, but the first thing that I've been taught to do, and I've chosen to learn to do, is to stay in my heart space as much as possible. How can I do that? Well, I can do that by spending as much time as possible in nature. You live in an incredible part of the country out in the west in the mountains. There's a lot of nature that you get instant access to. I've spent a lot of time in the south and the southwest, and so there's some incredible nature that you can get access to. And that's valuable because the vibration and energy of nature, they've told me, is, they being the council, has told me, is the same frequency and the same vibration as love. And therefore, the more that each of us can stay in a heart and love space, the easier it is for us to stay balanced and calm during any changes that are coming up and or any other situations that are disruptive. The most important thing is to stay calm in any situation.
That's good advice, actually,
yeah,
because so many people can be triggered into anxiety or depression or fear or anger, and that's what's kept us stuck for so many eons.
A lot of people can slip into fear easily. And I was having this conversation with my girlfriend recently, and she had helped someone who needed some help. A woman who had lost her husband and her son due to some kind of accident. And it's been years since it happened. And in the coming days, as my girlfriend was describing what she was experiencing and helping this woman, I kept getting the sensation of, and the energy of, fear and anxiety and desperateness about this woman who she was helping. And in fact, that was the result. About 5 or 6 days later, the whole thing blew up in my girlfriend's face because this woman turned on her and lashed out and got angry because she wasn't getting what she needed right at that moment. It's a valid story to tell because this woman's been operating from a place of pain and of fear for years and has not even processed the loss of her husband and her son emotionally. I'm not criticizing. I'm simply telling the story of what happens when people function from the energy of fear or anger or greed or any of those that fall into the, there's basically two categories of emotional experience. One is called fear. Another one's called love. A whole bunch of them fall into the category of fear. Another one falls into the category of love. I can tell you another story, which I think is illustrative of this process. You remember the Northridge, California earthquake?
No, I don't.
That one? 19, I think it was, it was probably in the early 90s, I believe. I was out in California. I happened to be in Northridge when the quake happened. And it's a long story, but the really short version is I turned to this buddy of mine. The two of us were in a mall, and this crystal chandelier crashed down to the floor. The floor was rolling, literally. It was rolling. It felt like another metaphor. It felt like four cement trucks had hit the building at the same time. And so there's women and children running around screaming everywhere. The chandelier falls. It's bedlam inside this mall. And I look at Jim and I said, you know what? We need to get out of here. And there was a door about 30, 35 feet away from us. We walked over to the door. We opened the door. We walked outside. Right during the middle of a 5.1 earthquake in Northridge, California. So there was no fear in that experience at all for Jim and I. We just said, okay, this is what's going on. This is what we've got to do.
Mm-hmm. And you removed yourself from a dangerous situation and kept calm. And I think that's great advice, Tolik, actually, because if there's this massive change that's coming to affect the presidential election, which is only a few months away, really. I mean,
correct,
it's not that far off. One of the things that could be a reason for a shakeup in who is elected, if anyone is elected in this next go around with the presidential election, it could be massive earth changes. And so people do need to keep calm and not be in fear and say, okay, let's just evaluate the situation. So I think that is actually great advice. We have to go to a quick break right now. When we come back, I have a lot more questions for Tolik. And he is here today and telling us all about the Andromeda Council. His website is andromedacouncil.com. We'll be right back.
Would you like a tool to clear your energy field and raise your vibration instantly? Solfeggio Sound Healing from Earthly Frequencies is a new CD created to bring you earthly healing vibrations combined with higher dimensional galactic energy. Use this sound healing for meditation, massage therapy, releasing negativity, and astral travel. Solfeggio Sound Healing by Ted Winslow. Now available on iTunes and Amazon.com.
Are you looking for healing or a change in your life to help you enjoy it more fully? You might benefit from a galactic energy reading and clearing from Chris Jacobs. Chris will work with you on a soul level to clear unseen negative influences, implants, programs, contracts, and energetic blocks. Chris Jacobs is a gifted energy healer. Contact him today at ChristopherStephenJacobs@gmail.com.
Would you like a tool to clear your energy field and raise your vibration instantly? Solfeggio Sound Healing from Earthly Frequencies is a new CD created to bring you earthly healing vibrations combined with higher dimensional galactic energy. Use this sound healing for meditation, massage therapy, releasing negativity, and astral travel. Solfeggio Sound Healing by Ted Winslow. Now available on iTunes and Amazon.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're having an out of this world experience today on the show. Tolik is here. He is the Earth Human Representative of the Andromeda Council. So, Tolik, I have a question for you. I heard you on a show, and I can't remember who the host was, but you might remember, and I would love to give her a plug. I can't remember her name. But you're talking about there was an upgrade recently, something about the star operating. I don't know.
Do you mean the planet? Yes. Oh, okay. Sure.
Okay. And I apologize that the question isn't. I just jotted a couple notes. I thought, oh, I want to talk to him about that. So sure. Could you tell us a little bit about that? I'm really curious about this topic.
Okay. Back. It's a complete story, so I'll tell it. Back in early November of 2012, I worked on, asked the commander of the Andromeda Council Biosphere, as well as the scientists that are the part of the scientific department, the cosmic science for the Andromeda Council, about the changes that would happen on December 21st, 2012, you know, exactly what would happen then. And it's relevant because it's going to answer your question. And on November 18th, after doing a lot of work, I posted a video up on a YouTube called December 21, 2012, What Will Happen? And among a few statements that were made, the core thing, the use of the word, you'll hear it. The primary change that happened to this planet is that you know that there's been some research recently, and I'll get into this as well because it's also relevant. The core of the planet for many years, this like little super ball interior, for a long time has been a combination of molten iron and solid. And I'm not a scientist, so I'm recollecting based on the notes that I dealt with back then. And of course, then you have the layer of magma under the surface, and then you have a crust, and you have all those outer layers. Well, on December 21st, 2012, what the scientists told me was going to happen, and in fact did happen based on their data today, is that the inner core of the Earth changed from its iron, nickel, molten form to like an electric blue plasma. And apparently it's the first time that any planetary body has shifted, has transformed in terms of its energy source to a new higher vibrational internal energy source, which is this, and they call it SAR. And they called it SAR because it's so close to that of being a star. So they were trying to use a play on words to have me get it, and I did. Interestingly enough, about 6 months, and I could go to the quotes, but I've talked about this quite a bit, so I've got most of it handled. About 6 months after December 21st, 2012, in June of 2013, in a row after, including recently this year, Linda Moulton Howe, in conversations with a gentleman who's, I believe, a geologist working under a contract with the DOD at a base in Utah. She had been doing these interviews with this gentleman, and they were exploring why the planet was making noise. And there was evidence that the vibrational frequencies that were coming from the core of the Earth had evidenced change of the core of the Earth, and they can't figure out why it's happening. And these interviews have happened all of 2013, 14, including through 2015, where Linda Moulton Howe has spoken with this gentleman under contract with the DOD, other scientists, physicists, astrophysicists, including a woman by the name of Ariana, who's a postgraduate doctorate research scientist at Stanford University. And she essentially said the planet's core, the inner core, has warmed up to the point where it's, and I'm paraphrasing, it's about 11,000 degrees. They said the kind of outer core of the inner core is about 10,500 to 600, and then you go to the inner core, so she said, and it's another 500 or 600 degrees. And again, I'm paraphrasing. So she said, that's as hot as the sun. It's unprecedented. And that's, so here we are. Here we are now.
Does it affect us on the surface, though? Because
yes, it does.
I got to tell you, I'm knee deep in snow right now, and it doesn't feel like it's any warmer this winter.
Yeah, and I'm in the Southwest, and it's cooler than it normally is. Actually, I'm in the Southeast right now, but it's even here, it's cooler than it normally is. And they're getting rains that they've never, ever gotten before at this time of year. And there's a hurricane that's brewing out. There's a hurricane. It's January. There's a hurricane brewing out in the subtropics. This planet and the other planets in the solar system are warming. It's warming because of the area of space that it's gone through. Part of the warming is because the inner core of the Earth is no longer this molten iron nickel. It's blue plasma. This is all part of the transitionary process on the way to the transformation, the higher dimensional transformation of this world. So
what does that mean energetically? So, it's obviously physically, it would mean the core is heating up. Is it affecting consciousness? Is it affecting, some people say those lower energies that are running the money and the governments? And is it affecting anything of that nature?
The core of the planet is not affecting people and their decisions. What's happening is, as the vibrational frequency surrounding this planet and surrounding this solar system continues to increase, it agitates. Yeah, it's probably the best word. Agitates and highly irritates people, beings that are existing in what Mark Kimmel would call 3D fear-based decisions, processes, ways of thinking, ways of being. And so a lot of the stuff that we're seeing in society, in global, not only U.S. politics, but global politics, they're all evidence of an era of transition, an era of change, because these lower vibrational, lower frequency beings, they can't tolerate the higher frequencies. And the higher the frequency, the closer you get to the actual frequency of love. And so, just like a woman has to go through a process to deliver a baby, she's got to complete all those processes, all those labor pains, so she can deliver that child. And the same thing with Mother Earth. She's going through whatever she needs to do. And part of that is a simple cause and effect. The vibrational frequencies of the planet is raising, and whatever Earth human people are here and whomever other beings that are here that are lower frequency vibration beings that live from a place of fear and greed and all that stuff has got to come to a head. The old has to die before the new begins. It has to.
So we all are very aware that it's going to make things better as we raise our frequency and vibration, not only for the planet's survival, but for humanity. But the question I have for you is, what's in it for the Andromeda Council? You know, here's, and I'm playing a little bit of the opposite side of the coin here. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is why, okay, because I have to tell you, I'm very open, obviously, or I would not be friends with you and a professional colleague to have you on the show, right? But I have to tell you that in all of my experiences with different galactics and people and, you know, James Gilliland and all these different teachers, and I know a lot of people through the radio show, my publishing company, who are really working for humanity and working in conjunction with the galactics, let's say, for a general term.
Yeah, good term.
But here's the thing. That's great. They want to observe us. But what's in it for them? Because they do, there is, I'm a little disenfranchised, I have to admit. I think a lot of people are that, okay, enough already. We've been getting these messages for years. We are told that you want to help us. We're told all these different, you know, timelines and predictions and then excuses and then explanations, and but nothing's really changing. And so what is in it for them? Their evolve?
Well, that question is loaded with all sorts of different parts. And
I don't mean Andromeda Council. Let's just talk about who you work with. Okay. Because this great human experiment that they're all watching, right? Mm-hmm. What do they get out of it if we survive or if we don't?
Here we go. The question's loaded because there are a number of definitions that need to, I think, be addressed inherent in the question itself. I'm not able to speak for other people. I can address what I've learned and what I've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I need to reiterate this one topic that's inherent to the answer. The changes that are happening to this world and that will continue to happen, again, are not specific to this world. They are specific to this solar system and the area of space that's traveling into. It's simply a higher vibrational area of space, and so that means there's cause and effect going on. Here we go, B. And these are in no specific order, but I'll try to keep them as logical as possible. If we understand that there are beings that have a much higher power, that are far more developed, and if we accept the fact that these beings live in 60, 70, 80, 90 dimensions, as part of the collective of these beings are what's known as I can't think of better words, so I'll just go here. Creator gods, small G-O-D-S. They're creational beings. And they have, I have to use words that we know, but I don't always have a vocabulary for. They have a hand. They have a hand in the evolution of not only this planet, but every star, every planet has its own evolutionary blueprint. And this is the era of change that this planet and the people who choose to stay here will evolve from 3D organic into being full-time, at least initially, mid-level 4D, fourth dimensional beings. And that means we will no longer be organic of blood, muscle, bones, skin, skeletal structure. We will still look human, but our human bodies will be lighter, they'll be less dense, they'll literally be more full of light, and we will be living literal spiritual lives, lives that live in the spirit dimensions, and that means that we'll be living thousands of years. There will be no more organic death. It is a process that is happening. And now I'll introduce a topic to give people some relevance to this process. Sometime within the past year, I asked this gentleman, and I also asked Ambassador Tonka at the same time, because he is the spiritual ambassador from the planet Dakota to the council. He's also the council's ambassador to planet Earth. So I figured he'd be a good person to ask. I said, you know, for many, many years, I've been asking him, them, the question of about time, trying to really get a handle on the nature of time. And I said, you know, I've been asking this question from the wrong perspective, so I'll ask the question this way. And so I said, you've told me that a slice of my whole soul, which I call spirit essence, has been coming down to this planet for about 75,000 years and living different human lives. Like, yes, that's correct. I said, okay, from your perspective, because you guys know me, I've been living and working both here on Earth and up on the Andromeda Council primary biosphere for a long, long, long time. And they're like, yeah. So from your perspective, because they are now 5D beings, as 5D beings, how long does it feel to you that I've been off the biosphere and traveling to Earth and being down here? And he said, as you would express it in Earth terms? I said, yes. How long does it feel to you? And he said, about a year and a half. And I went, what? And I'm telling this story because it's relevant. To them, it feels like I've been gone about a year and a half or so, like a year and a half business trip. Work in Germany, work in France, work in England, you know, go to Australia. Been gone a year and a half. When in fact, the way we measure time, I've been living 75,000 years worth of Earth life. I tell that story so that people can get a reality check on how different they experience life and time, and how different we do, because at a relative best case scenario, Earth men are living, what, 82 or 83 years, and Earth women are living 85. Some people's lives are shorter, but at a best case scenario, we're living 80 to 85 years. This organic body that we have wears out and it dies, right? That's what we call it. We call it death. Not for them. And that's why I have a hard time with some people who talk about their knowledge of spirituality when they don't have a clue as to what they're talking about. When people address the topic of spirituality, they should be talking about what is life like in spiritual dimensions? And that's what I'm talking about right now. And for them, they live 8,000 years, as we would understand it, as, say, a mid-level 4D being. And they go, you know, I've lived as long as I can as a 4D person. I've really experienced as much as I can as a 4D person. I'm ready to live a fifth dimensional life. Bang. They make the decision. And within like the snap of a finger, they and whoever they want to include in their lives, they simply migrate up to 5D. Because if you think of the concept of dimensions as a tall building, you got 3D organic substance and structure, which is where we're at right now. And it's like there's this breakpoint. Everything from that breakpoint up is literally all spiritual, literal, energy-based life. Think of spirit life as energy life. Everything from 3D down is organic. And so there's this vast difference between what we think of as time and what those in the higher dimensions think of as time. And that's why I told that whole story. It's because we've got a bunch of people who are getting rather feisty and tired of the amount of time it's taking. Well, Mother Earth and this solar system and this planet is going to go through the evolutionary process for as long as it takes for her to birth herself as a higher dimensional world. And not one person's designs about their preference for time is going to change that. I'm sorry if that sounds a little harsh, but...
No, I'm glad you said that, because I see people all the time giving away their power and following blogs and paying obscene amounts of money to try to get this little bit of information from the galactics and thinking everything's going to happen tomorrow. And it's like... No. They need to focus on their lives right now. Yes. And no one's going to come and save us. Yes. And, you know, this could take a long time. And in our world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the record, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is worth saying. The people who provide the auxiliary services for the Andromeda Council, the auxiliary services of facilitating trade and protection among member planets, all the things that they do, they've never ever said to me, oh yeah, we're here to save the human race. What they have told me is they're going to do as much as they can, to utilize as much of the technology that they have at their disposal to make this transition and transformation process easier, to help mitigate some of the difficulties in the earth changes. They said they would do that. What's in it for them? To go back to your original question?
Well, we only have about 2 minutes. So,
okay. Oh, this is a short answer.
If you want, okay.
Yeah. I honestly believe that the question of what's in it for them is an inappropriate question to ask of them, because they don't come from a place of ego. They're like,
okay, I guess I wasn't really coming at it from them. It was are they ascending, or if Earth doesn't survive, does it affect their star system in a negative way? It wasn't at all about ego, but I just wanted to clear that up. But this has been a really fun conversation. We'll have to continue it and have you on again, Tolik, because I think we could talk for hours. I just am having a blast with you, and so glad that you were able to make it today in your busy schedule. Really quick, do you have anything coming up you'd like to tell the audience about?
Oh, sure.
Or how to contact you?
Yes. People can reach me. If they want to write to me, they can reach me at on YouTube, using YouTube's messaging service. And they would find me defined as a user or a channel. They can write to me at Tolek, T-O-L-E-C, from Dakota. D as in David, A-K-O-T-E. If they haven't been to the Andromeda Council website, it's Andromeda Council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L.com. And beyond that, The next conference that I'll be speaking at is going to take place in Tucson the weekend of February 27th and 28th. And it's called Inspiring Our Power Within, Balancing Male and Female Energies. I'll be speaking Diane Gleason, who's the head of MUFON. She's the state section director of MUFON in Tucson. She'll be speaking, another five or six people who I respect quite a bit. There are going to be a couple of people from Sedona that will be coming down speaking. So it's going to be a highly interesting conference. That I can guarantee.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Make sure to contact Tolik and find out. He gives a lot of information and puts up a lot of videos on his YouTube. So you want to definitely check that out. Tolik, thanks again for being on this show. It's been such a pleasure.
You're very welcome. And for the people that might be interested in this conference, they can go to inspiringourpowerwithin.com.
Okay, all you people out there who want to get a little break in this winter weather, go down to Tucson in February. Is that right?
Yeah, it'll be in the mid-70s at least, probably 74 to 76 degrees at least. Dry, sunny, warm. Great place to be. Absolutely.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you, Tolik. And to all of you, thank you for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Callisto Winslow and check out all of our offerings at BigCountryPublishing.com. We have a lot of fun projects coming up that you'll definitely be interested in. Thank you, listeners. We love you so much. We love you, BBS Radio, and have a great week.
Thanks, Christina.
Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Reach For It Radio. Please join your host, Christina Winslow, live each Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio. Listen live or listen later. Subscribe for free on iTunes or Stitcher. Or connect with us on reachforitradio.com.